Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 30. Jeremiah, chapter 30. We're going to read about five or six verses here, and we're going to skip around a little bit in the chapter, so bear with me here. We're going to start in verses 11 and 12. I'll read 11, you join me on verse 12, and then we're going to jump a little bit later in the chapter. Jeremiah, chapter 30, verses 11 and 12, right now. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee. Yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. Now we're going to read verses 18 through 20 together. We're going to read verses 18 through 20. Why don't you start with me on verse 18? You ready? Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them. They shall not be few, and I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, we are truly just sinners saved by grace. We're sinners in need of thee. Lord, we need the truth of tonight, probably in America more than we know. And I pray that you'd help us tonight. Please, would you bless the preaching of your word in Jesus' name? Amen. And you may be seated. The nation of Israel has always been, in God's mind, a stubborn nation, a stubborn people. They battled idolatry all the way through the Babylonian captivity. You realize that after the Babylonian captivity, though, Israel has never gone back to idolatry. All the way from history until that captivity, they struggled with it. But since that time, they've not struggled with idolatry. Now, God tried for 490 years to correct the Jews. Before the captivity, for 490 years. Now, that's a long time, folks. Pardon me for saying it this way, but just shy of 500 years of history. God tried for 70 Sabbaths, 490 years, to correct them, and they would not correct. God, all along the way, said, look, either you fix this or I'm going to punish you. You fix this or I'm going to punish you. You fix this or I'm going to punish you. He waited 490 years. Then he punished them. Punished them for 70 years. By the way, that punishment was so great that they never went back to idolatry. Now, here's the lesson tonight. Correction and punishment are not the same. Correction and punishment are not the same. See, correction is an adjustment to keep you from doing wrong. Punishment is punitive. Punishment is pain or suffering for doing wrong. It's a penalty for wrongdoing. Correction is to prevent you from getting to punishment. Let's bring it down to where we live. As you drive your car home tonight, you won't hold the steering wheel perfectly still, even on a straightaway. Say, why? Because the road is moving, the angles of the road are moving, the mechanics in a vehicle are not perfect to where it could run perfectly straight on its own. So you're constantly making minor adjustments in the steering wheel. You correct it one way, and then you correct it back the other way. You correct it this way, you correct it back the other way. As you teach a young person to drive, you try to teach them not to overcorrect. All of a sudden, they start doing this way, and what do they want to do? Real fast. You know, you don't do that at 70 miles an hour going up 81. You know, That's why you don't take them out on the highway the first time they drive. Get them used to handling that thing, letting them see, and then make them realize every little move you do on the highway is just multiplied and magnified. And you gotta coach them through that. You say, why? Because if you change lanes on the highway at 70 miles an hour and go like this, guess what? You're going to flip that car. Say, why? Because you've overcorrected it. Now, I just taught a lot of our women how to drive just now. Should I ask you and your wife who's had the most tickets? All right. See, one was punitive, one was corrective. Now, most every human being on the face of the earth does not like to be corrected. Let's face it. We don't like to be corrected. I'll be honest with you. I don't like correction. Now, I like the results of correction, but I don't like the process of correction. Every human being on earth, though, needs corrected. And usually, we need corrected often. And I'm not looking at anybody, all right? As a parent, I'd rather correct my children than punish my children. As a boss who's had dozens and dozens and dozens of employees throughout the years, I'd much rather correct employees than punish them. You see, I'd always rather correct than have to punish. I've learned, though, as a follower, if I learn to enjoy the correction, I don't have to endure the punishment. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, when Dad used to say, son, either you fix that attitude or I'm going to fix it for you. Okay, that was the correction. If I didn't fix it, the punishment was coming, and it was not as enjoyable. And it was something that you endured. I have learned that correction is good, not bad. Correction is there to keep us from being punished. Here's the problem. In America, we think if we're corrected, we're being punished. And that is not true.
Right. Yep.
Good. We have almost turned correction into punishment in our own view. Can I tell you why? Because it goes against your pride. See, when somebody corrects you, they say, that's not right. That's wrong. You need to fix that. Well, I did my best. Your best wasn't good enough. Let's fix it. You didn't do it the right way. Let's fix it. So correction is not bad. Punishment is bad. Here in Jeremiah chapter 30, God was telling his people, I am going to correct you. He said in verse number 11, but I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Wow. He said, I'm going to do both. But I want you to notice the first statement. He said, I will correct thee. Now, how did God correct the children of Israel? He was trying to prevent punishment. But when they did not, he would punish them. If they accepted the correction, there were some things that took place as well. I'm going to give you four statements about how God corrected them. Then I'm going to give you three statements about what happened when they received their correction with the right spirit. All right? Number one, how did he correct them? He scattered them. Look at verse number 11. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I will make a full end of nations, whither I have scattered thee. Wow. He said, I am going to separate you from that which you are about to do that is wrong. He moved them away from the wrong. When my children started learning to walk, I didn't take everything out of my home and childproof it. I homeproofed the child. I didn't childproof the home. I don't know if that's a good statement or not, but that's what we did. I didn't go around and move everything. Say, what'd you do? I took the kids on a tour. And when they went to reach it, I grabbed them and said, no. And in the case of my boys, it was no, 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 no. Now, once we got through that process, then when they went for it and I said, don't do that, there was punishment involved. Amen. Whack! And you've all been through that. And then you go through the... Say, how long does that last? Till they don't go... I'm sorry, no two-year-old is more stubborn than me. They don't make the child more stubborn than me, I promise you. I've had more practice than they've had. You say, you didn't give in? Never.
Amen.
Because when I gave in, guess what? They win. And they're not corrected. Correct. Now, teenagers, sometimes you have to separate them from that which can cause them grief. By the way, you better be knowing what's on their phone, what's on their iPad, what's on their computer, where they've been. Some of you just leave your kids to technology and they're getting in trouble and you don't know what they're getting involved in. Some of you let your kids run around with people that there's no way that they should be running around with, and it's time to separate them. Well, you just don't like my friends. You're right. Okay, what's your point? You see a little of my father coming out in me. I remember one time my dad said, "You're not hanging around that guy." I said, "But Dad, that's my friend." He said, "Not anymore." I said, "What's the matter with it?" He said, "Because I said no."
Amen.
He said, "I happen to know some things you don't. Stay away from it." Yeah, it wasn't long I found out what my dad was talking about, and I was glad to listen to him. But I promise you, you didn't look at my dad and say, "Well, what's wrong with my friends?" Because he would tell you. And then the correction got a little heavier, amen? You say, "Well, they've got to learn to make decisions on their own." Yes, when they're old enough to make the decision on their own. When they're not, you make it for them. If they're not wise enough to listen to the correction, scatter them away from that which will cause them harm.
Amen.
What are they listening to? What are they watching? What kind of music are they listening to?
Amen.
Listen to their CDs. I don't care if it says preaching on the outside of the CD cover, what's on the inside. Used to be a day, yeah, Evan Barnes, he's an idiot, sends me an email or a picture today on his phone. He said, "I found out what this slot in my car is for. Somebody's got an iPhone stuck in a tape cassette player in their vehicle." Idiot. I still play cassette tapes in my office of preaching, amen? You laugh all you want, but I'm getting good preaching out of that stuff, amen? You can use your technology. Mine's still working. I didn't like it because I got a tape player in my truck either, all right? So, but... some of you need to, you know, in the cassette tape era, somebody would have a preaching tape and they'd let the first 2 minutes of it stay preaching. They'd erase the middle part of it, put rock music on, leave the end part of that thing with preaching, so that moms and dads, when they would listen to it, they'd leave it at the preaching part. "Oh yeah, it's preaching tape. Yeah, you didn't know what was going on." I learned all those tricks. Trust me. I've been around a long time. Can I tell you something? Some of you need to separate your homes from some things. What you see on television. What you're listening to. The people that you run with. God said he scattered them to get them away from that which was causing them to need to be corrected. Can I tell you something? Sometimes you just got to move your kids out of the way. Say, "Well, They're writing notes back and forth to someone, I think." You don't know. My daughter knows to this day. If it's in her room, it's under my roof, it's my property, not hers.
Amen.
So you would go into her room and read things? Everything.
Amen.
Not things. Everything.
Amen.
And I have read them. On a regular basis. Amen. Whether she knows it or not. Yeah, she does now. No. you know what? I don't care. Ask her. Say, "Why?" Because if somebody does write something that she doesn't need to know about, I'm going to be the first one on it. Good. I'm going to separate it in a heartbeat. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Say, well, you're some evil dictator. No, I'm doing what God said to do.
Amen.
He did not make, now listen to this. He did not move them away from him. He moved them away from the wrong. Notice it said, for I am with thee. I have scattered thee. Here's what happens. I watch people scatter, but they scatter away from church. They scatter away from God. They scatter away from the man of God. They scatter away from their Bible. I'll tell you whether your kids are receiving the correction or not. How spiritual are they when you scatter it? Well, and they start yelling back. Okay, now it's time to go to punishment.
Amen.
Do they come to you and say, you're right, I should have listened. I've been reading my Bible, Mom, and you were right. Or is it, do we have to go to church again? Okay, you've got a problem. I loved it, Brother Rick. I'm not even sure he caught what he said tonight when he was praying. But he said that we get to come to a place like this. I about had a spell on the platform when he said that. Say why? That's the way our hearts ought to be. Notice they moved away from God. God didn't move away from them. I'm going to make a statement here. Some of you need to banish your kids and keep them isolated away from wrong places so that they get lonely enough to listen to you.
Boy, that's good.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
When we went on restriction, or whatever you call that word, my dad had a few other words that I won't use. Banishment, whatever you want to call it. When we got grounded, and there was more to being grounded than you understood, amen? He drilled you in the ground. When I got grounded or put on restriction, guess what? Everything in my room but my clothes came out. I'm not kidding. I mean, we had nothing. We didn't have our video games and computers and phones. Matter of fact, we didn't know what a phone was other than the one in the kitchen. That was it. But we didn't have phones to play with. We didn't have computers. We didn't have email and iMail and Facebook and all the other trash. When you were there, you were by yourself. You say, why? Because you made yourself pretty miserable company. And you got tired of yourself after a while. You decided being by yourself all the time wasn't worth it. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Figured out it's time to train another generation what that's all about.
Yeah.
So, number one, God scattered them. Number two, I love this, it wasn't a death sentence. Do you know that correction is not a death sentence?
Amen.
Look at verse 11 again. It said, though I make a full end of all nations, and he said, watch this, yet will I not make a full end of thee. He said, I'm not going to wipe you out. He said, I got to move you. I got to correct you, but this isn't a death sentence. It's not, this isn't forever. Can I tell you something? Correction, due to it being preventative, is not a sentence. It's an adjustment. Can I help you, parents, when you correct your kids? Don't kill them.
Amen.
You remember the old term, don't cry over spilt milk? Now, when they push it over on purpose, or you've warned them and warned them and warned them and warned them because you were trying to correct them, that's one thing. But just because an accident took place doesn't mean life ends. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Okay, hang in there. I need you to breathe every once in a while, all right? All right? Correction is not supposed to be a life sentence. If a child gets good grades and they bring a bad grade home, doesn't mean that the world's going to end. Those of us that didn't get good grades and brought a good grade home, first question asked was, who'd you cheat from, you know? You testifying on that one, Donnie? Amen. You know, I hate to say this, but punishment and the death sentence is for those that need punished severely. Those are for the rebels. Those were for the disloyal, not for those that needed corrected. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Okay, listen to me real carefully on this one. As long as you're still alive, there's hope.
Amen.
We all have a death sentence called sin. But guess what? God gave us grace and mercy and forgiveness. And he said, I've made a way for you to even do something good with your life. And I'll keep correcting you to try to keep you going the right direction. Just because you got corrected didn't mean that the world had to end. Good night. You know, boys and girls are different in many ways. But in correction, my boys are rockheads. Man, I could, yeah, and then, oh, all right, Dad. If I looked at my daughter the wrong way, she was crying. I'm like, ooh, wait a minute here. There was one day I raised my voice just a little bit at her, and she, I'm thinking, what are you crying for? I said, you're not in trouble. Yes, I am. Yeah. Oh, Lord have mercy. Good night. Not already. And my wife says, you can't correct her like you do them boys. I said, why? Because she's a girl. So? It didn't work that way. I had to learn. I got to use a different tone of voice. If I get just a little too intense, it's, I'm thinking, back off. It's okay. It's okay. I promise you. Nobody's going to die. She enjoyed it when I did it to her brothers, but she doesn't like it coming back at her. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All right. You know, the death sentence is only for those who are rebellious, for fools, and for disloyalty. That's it. You know, you can break the law. You can speed, and you pay a ticket. But you break the law enough, and you pay enough tickets, guess what? You're going to go to jail. If the ticket didn't work, or the second one, or the third one, or the fourth one, and they take your driver's license away and you get caught again in speeding, guess what? You're going to jail. Say why? Because you didn't learn from your correction. Boy, is that good stuff.
Yes.
Now, number three. God corrects us by measure. By measure. This is a musical term. If you looked in your songbook, don't do it now. But if you looked in your songbook, you'll see every three or four beats in a song, depending on how many beats are in the music, you'll see measure lines. It's broken up into little blocks, if you noticed. All right? You say, what is that? Because you write music by measures. It's gotta be timed out just right. And when you're practicing music, you'll say, well, let's start at measure 33 here. And you'll start at certain measure, and you'll go from there. It's a way to guide things. Guess what? God said, I'll correct thee by measure. He said, little increments at a time. I'll correct thee. Wow. He waits until his justice can be issued with all the facts before he corrects, though. Yeah, you know, there's times I've looked at my children and said, you're not doing wrong, but I see where you're headed, and I'm about to fix it before you get there. As a teacher, I've taught college, I've taught high school, I've taught junior high. I did a teensy-weensy bit of elementary teaching. Don't put me in the classroom with the little ones that long, all right? But I've even taught at that level. I've done bus routes since I was, good night, I've done bus routes for 35 years. The best time to fix a problem is before you have a problem. You ought to preach to a bunch of inner city teenagers someday. When I was in South Carolina, I had a black teen department from the inner city of Charleston, South Carolina. You didn't mix those with your regular, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but your regular drive-in folks and the city folks didn't get along real well. Okay? There is a defining line in the South, and that was the defining line. But we wanted to reach those people, and I had as many as 150, 200 black teens and adults on Sunday afternoon in my afternoon teen department. Every once in a while, I'd see a couple of these renegades come in, and I'd see one of my regulars with a new kid, and I'd say, this isn't going to be good. I'd walk down to the kid that I knew and say, you know what? I need you moving back over there. You're not in trouble yet, but you're about to be. And to keep you from getting in trouble, I want you to move so that you don't get in trouble. But I didn't ask you, I'm telling you. All right, Brother Bush, get up and move. Guess what? I wouldn't have a problem. I saw where that was going so that I did not have problems. I corrected it by measure. Can I tell you something? That's how God wants to fix your life. Usually, fast judgments are rarely just. When people react immediately to an issue, usually they're wrong. Amen. And I'm going to make a statement here. Just because it's in the press doesn't mean everything's the facts. Some of you prefabricate your opinion about what a national trial is going to be because you've been listening to the press, but you haven't heard all the facts. Everybody doing okay? Yeah. And usually if the press put it out, believe the opposite and you're about right. You know, justice and correction, okay, correction is supposed to be like medicine. Those of you that have this upper respiratory crud, you'll go to the doctor and get a bottle of medicine or a bottle of pills of penicillin or whatever they take for this stuff. I realize I'm not giving you the right doctorage and stuff, but if you read the label on your medicine, it'll say, take one of these every 6 hours. Take no more than 4 or 5 in a day. And there's enough for 7 or 10 days in there. If you pop the top off that thing, chug them down, take all of them at one time and say, I'm going to be better by morning. Guess what? You'll be better by morning, all right. You'll be playing tag with the angels. They're going to have a tube down your throat pumping your gut out your mouth, amen? Say why? Because you OD'd on medicine. You didn't take it as it was prescribed measure by measure. Yep. Well, I got this cough, so I swallowed a whole bottle of NyQuil. And you walk like Brother Lowther. I mean, folks, you don't take an entire bottle of medicine at one time. You say, why? Because it's made to be given to you a little bit at a time. You say, why? Because too much of it at one time is not good. By the way, God says that's the way he corrects us. You correct the sickness by adjusting it a little at a time. You bring your body up to the point where it's strong enough to fight it itself. Boy, that's good stuff. Number four. God could not let it go without correction. He said, I will not let this go without it being corrected. I'm going to make a statement here. Justice requires leadership to fix things. Justice requires leadership to fix things. Listen to this statement. It is an injustice to let it go.
Yes.
Amen. If you see something that needs corrected, and it's under your leadership, and you do not correct it, you are unjust, not the person that was needing corrected.
Amen.
Just because you have a big heart, and you don't want to offend somebody, and I'll just let it go this time, you're unjust.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Mommies, you'll struggle with this more than daddies. Well, I love them so much. It's okay this time. I know they're not feeling good. I don't care how they feel. Doing wrong. Get it corrected.
Amen.
You say, well, they just weren't okay, we've all been tired before. People's attitudes need adjusted when they're tired more than they don't do when they're not tired. I've been able to read my children. I've been able to read young people. I can tell when a kid's about ready to come unscrewed because he's tired and say, I don't care how tired you are, you're going to fix your attitude right now.
Hey, that's good.
You better get it fixed before I have to, because you don't want me to.
Yes.
Read me here? All right. And I okay. Pull them back to reality. Some of you, well, they're just so tired. Maybe if you made them go to bed rather than give them their cell phone and their iPad and their iPhone and everything else and let them play computer games till 3 in the morning, they wouldn't be so tired. But I won't preach that sermon tonight. Employees and employers. Employers, if you have an employee that's not doing right, you need to correct it. It's not fair to the ones that are doing right that you don't correct it. I'm going to make a statement here to everybody. You like that one, but those of you that are employees and your boss corrects you, don't get ticked off because he corrected you and not somebody else. You don't know what he did to somebody else. And it doesn't matter what they did to somebody else. If he thinks you're worth correcting, guess what? He thinks you're worth fixing, and the other one he's going to fire. Okay. If it's not corrected, you're one step closer to punishment, just so you know. Now, I have about 7 minutes. Here we go. What happened when they received correction and corrected the problem? We read verses 18 through 20. We'll not read it again, but in verse 19, the Bible says that they, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Wow. Do you know when you get corrected and you correct the problem, you ought to thank the person that corrected you? You ought to be thankful you got corrected. You say, why? At least you didn't get punished. You ought to be thankful you didn't get punished. Do you realize that if you corrected something, you're closer to success? Everybody doing okay? There's many a times I'm glad somebody corrected me. I didn't like being corrected, but once I corrected it, I found out why it needed corrected, and guess what? I found success. Correction will keep you stable. Can I tell you why everybody's freaked out in the world? Well, somebody told me I did something wrong. No. Then fix it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You got to deal with a parent. My child didn't answer that wrong. Oh, yeah? What's the answer? Well, I don't know, but my kid didn't get it wrong. Yes, they did. Y'all, I'm having too much fun right now. If you get corrected, guess what? If you'll correct it, you won't have to get corrected for the same thing again later. You've learned what not to do. Can I tell you something? That means we ought to be thankful when we're corrected. When's the last time you looked at your boss and said, hey, thanks for correcting that for me? Most of you would get a pay raise just by doing that, because they don't, or get sent to the hospital. Somebody thanked me for that? Yeah. Man, thanks for showing me how to do this. Hey, if you see something like that, can you fix it again? Could you show me before I get there? Really? Y'all, you know, any of you that have employees, you know what I'm talking about. Any of them like that, buddy, you're grabbing on to that one. I'm keeping that one. Say, well, I can teach that one. I can take that one a long way. I need that one around so that it affects everybody else's attitude. I'm going to keep him away from the ones that don't receive correction. Number two, they were more successful due to correction. God said he would multiply them. Ooh. Notice it didn't say he would add to. He said he would multiply. I like that. Now, I like things being added to, but multiplication's a whole lot bigger than addition. God said, I won't just add to you, I will multiply you. Do you know there are things that I do now that I used to do wrong that I now do right because somebody took the time to correct me? Had I not done what I was corrected to do, guess what? I would not be where I'm at doing what I'm doing. I'd be making more mistakes than I make now. But I'm here to tell you, If you'll get your correction and receive it and be thankful for it, you will become more successful and God will be able to multiply you. Have you ever made a financial stupid move? And once you finally got out of it, you fixed it and you said, we ain't going there again. And now, if you've truly corrected it, guess what? You see those bad things coming up and say, that's not going to work. Don't go there. Nope. Say why? You became successful and your money has been multiplied, not just added to. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen. Punishment slows growth. Correction multiplies growth. Did you catch that? Amen. Punishment slows growth. Correction multiplies growth. Let me ask you a question. Let's go way back in your memory banks from when you were in school. The kids that got in trouble and got spanked all the time, were they the straight A students? It was rare to see a good student get punished, wasn't it? Can I tell you why? Correction multiplies. Punishment slows the growth. You take the employees where you work. Those that receive correction move up well and do well. Those that don't handle the correction are the ones that are always getting barked at, always the ones complaining, all the ones pulling everybody else down, slowing everybody down, griping and complaining because they got more work to do than anybody else. And they slow the production down. Boy, that's good stuff. And lastly, I love this. I didn't read this verse, but verse 22 says, "And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." After they received their correction and they corrected the problem, God said, "You'll be my people, and I'll be your God." He said, "I'll praise you. I'll love on you." Can I tell you something? I want God happy with me. I do. Matter of fact, I just want God to be happy. The more successful the leader is, the more success I had as a follower. You know, as an assistant pastor, the more successful I could make my pastor, the more successful I became. I don't mean that arrogantly. I wasn't worried about my success. I just wanted them to succeed. The more successful the church is, guess what? God automatically says, let me help you. Do you know that as a coach, the more successful the team is, the more successful he is? You know, okay, ask Mike Shanahan right now. Didn't have a successful team. Guess what? Got fired. Now, I'm not for how the NFL does their hiring and firing process, trust me. But I will tell you this. The more successful a team is, the more job security that coach has. Folks, people only need punished when they won't be corrected. People only need punished when they will not receive correction. We don't like correction. It hurts our pride. Let me say it this way. I hope that every one of us here at Grace Baptist Church learn to be thankful for our correction. I really do. I want us to be thankful for being able to be corrected. I want our children to be thankful that their parents love them enough to correct them. I want our parents thankful enough that somebody's willing to, the man of God's willing to get up and clean your plow every once in a while to help you. I want employees where they go to work to be thankful that their boss will correct them. I want Christians to be thankful for when the preaching of the Word of God comes, they come to the altar and say, God, thank you for that truth. I need it in my life. Help me. I was talking to one of our dear ladies after church this morning. She said, I wore the wrong shoes to church today, Brother Bush. You were stomping on my toes. I said, I wore the wrong ones too. I forgot my combat boots because I was stomping all over me. Look, I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. Folks, Let's just learn to be thankful for our correction. Because correction multiplies. Punishment slows the growth. Matter of fact, usually causes growth to stop and go backwards. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. What's your attitude about correction? What's your attitude? Hey, parent, are you too rough with your correction? Is correction a death sentence to you? Maybe you ought to back off and realize it's time to correct, not punish. Oh, punishment's needed every once in a while, but not near as much as correction. Maybe you as an employee need to correct yourself.